Hello, friends and folks, and welcome back to another session of Scanline Tabletop, specifically our Blades in the Dark campaign titled The Ghosts of Parliament. It will end today.
It all ends here.
I'm Six Dadmar. I'm your game manager.
I'm Jennifer Uncle, and I'm playing Scully Booker.
And I'm Kyrie Page, playing as Meyer Scora.
So, if we look at the map here, right?
Okay,
let me clear drawings. I'm gonna, here. Freehand, and I'm gonna change the color because this is like a pale cyan, and I don't think that shows up very well. We're gonna go with like a hot pink. So, Scully is by Eeyore's Theater, right over here.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And Meyer is near the exit of the Spirit Fast into White Crown down here. Do you recall how we left off?
So I recall that Meyer had been accosted briefly by the brother of Victor.
Yeah. Yes.
The brother of Victor. Almost called him Vincent. Same root name. I've been accosted, and we have forged an uneasy but seemingly temporary alliance, because our goals at the moment are aligned. Scully, if I recall, has made it to the fjords, to the theater. And Elias, was it Elias? No. Felix. No, wait.
The person who manages the theater was cool with what we were doing, basically.
Uh-huh.
Right.
What's his name, Jen? This is like your sixth time interacting with him.
Names.
It's Dietrich.
Dietrich.
I was looking at the character list. I thought Dietrich was there.
Mm-hmm. And then also Chael appeared for someone. I forget who they appeared for.
Oh, it was only her, like, her most, like, heated rival.
All right,
throughout this entire, like, story.
Yeah. Yeah, Meyer.
Yeah, me.
Yeah. Yep. Golem Chael is there.
Yep.
And I think that probably was the most pressing one, because it was a rock lady with glowing eyes and knives. If it's okay with you, Kyrie, I'd like to pick up there.
Go for it. I think we established last time that, like, if you, like, reach max stress and gain a trauma, I believe the ruling is basically, we're not, like, since this is the finale, we're not necessarily out of the scene. Like, you fail that action spectacularly, but you're not quite out, I think, is what we established.
We won't necessarily erase you from the scene, but there will be strong consequences.
Sure, but it's not, like, the end of the game.
Right, right. I mean, you know, listen, I am open to killing both of you.
Oh, yeah. I am aware.
So, Scully?
Yeah?
You had a quick little talk with, I guess mostly just an introduction, reintroduction, with Chael. What's up? Yu-Gi-Oh! Your Move voice.
Could I try talking her into coming back tomorrow when we can settle this?
Uh-huh, you can try.
Okay.
Here.
That's a sway roll. Go ahead and roll that.
Are you going to let me actually roll for that? Okay. Let's see.
Jed, never mind. You know what? I'm just going to sit back.
Hey, I've got a point in sway.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be controlled, or...?
That's Desperate Limited. That's a mad, stupid idea, Jen.
Okay, maybe I won't do that then. I figured it wouldn't hurt to ask, but...
wouldn't hurt to ask your, like, heated rival, going like, hey girl, this is, like, a mad inconvenient time for me. Can we do this tomorrow? As if she is going to say, oh yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You know what? I'll pencil you in for two tomorrow. How's that?
Like, a person is like, you know, after 10 years I've tracked you down. You die today, motherfucker. Revenge is mine. Hey, can we do this tomorrow? Today's really full for me.
Look, man, I just, you know, the boss called me in for like a double shift. I'm really not feeling it right now.
I wasn't even supposed to be here today.
Huh. Like, I have points in skirmish, but I don't think that would go so well. I do have points in attune. Like, I could, like, maybe find a way to stop the golem she is inhabiting.
You don't really have any experience doing that.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. And basically nothing in the theater so far has been set up for or planned yet, other than what Dietrich has already done, right?
Yeah, I mean, you're still outside. You're sort of in an alleyway behind the theater. It's White Crown. The alleys are wide. Buildings have plenty of room. But, you know, it is space between two buildings here.
Okay. I think my best bet right now would be to run away from the scene so that it's easier for Meyer to do her thing. Because okay. If I run, that'll get Chao to follow along, and then, like, the coast is clear, or the ghost is clear for...
Exclusive. So, are you trying to... That's probably going to be a finesse roll.
Uh-huh.
Are you trying to... Well, I guess, okay. Let's... How are you doing? Are you trying to outrun her? Are you trying to sort of, like, keep, like, do a video game chase scene where you're always within, you know, like, line of sight, but you're keeping your distance? Are you trying to, like, take a lot of, like, corners and stuff and ditch her?
I think what I'm trying to do is, at first, I'm going to be running in plain sight. I'll be running in plain sight, but after a little bit, I'll end up ditching her so I can return, and hopefully she'll still be looking for me a different location.
Okay, that's a finesse.
Okay. And is that
risky
still...
Risky standard.
Okay, risky standard. Cool.
Yeah, it's a less stupid idea.
Good to know. That was a 3.
Okay. A 3 is a failure. So I'm going to tell you the consequences, and then you have the ability to resist using stress if you like. Just informing you of your options.
Yeah, if I resist using stress, though, then I'll take on a trauma.
Probably. Not necessarily, but probably. You could roll really well, and then that wouldn't happen. So, you, I think you do, like, the fucking, Princess Bride, right? Where you, like, just, like, very deliberately and stare into her eyes and reach for your sword and then pivot on heel and just bolt. how would she react? I think Chael, I don't think Chael is able to sigh in her new body. I don't think her you know, imitation of a voice box is complicated enough for that. So she just takes off after you. And it's scary sounding from behind because you've been chased by people before, right? And, you know, you like the sound of, like, hurried boots and stuff. But, like, she's heavier than that. She's a big rock lady. And when she brings her feet down hard to run, you can hear the pavement shattering as her feet hit the ground. And also you can tell that it's getting closer. And you happen to, like, against your better judgment, you flick a glance behind yourself, right? And the two, like, she is running, she is sort of, like, doing a forward-leaning run, like to sort of help have her momentum, like help her go faster. Her two arms with the knives in them are kind of like folded down at her side, but at her waist along her leg has sort of like popped open, and there is sort of like an arm that is inlaid with her like her thigh basically, that has folded out and is holding a pistol and is trying to take aim.
Jeez, okay.
What would you like to do?
I'll roll to resist that.
Okay. Go ahead, and how are you resisting this?
I guess I could, like, to fuck with her aim, I could just suddenly stop and then juke to a different direction. Maybe run behind her or something.
Okay, that's prowess.
Okay. Let's see, where's prowess? Oh, there. Okay.
You just click the prowess word.
Okay. No bonus. Submit. 2-2-2.
Okay. What trauma do you take?
Can't decide if paranoid or reckless would be a better fit for what's happening here.
You know, I think that conversation happens later because we are, like, trauma is sort of like the lasting consequences of an event, and it's not, I think, readily apparent, right?
Okay.
Just so, I think you stop, right? You just stop dead in your tracks and then try and juke another direction. And this is going to be pretty bad, Jen. You know what? You did resist, right? I mean, like, it went badly for you. And so the situation is going to be bad, but I will avoid giving you immediate, like, bad harm.
Okay.
Let me see. I think you, like, stop and you juke, and there's, like, there is a board covering up, like sort of like a board, like, stacked in front of an alley as, like, a makeshift fence. And you're like, okay, this is my chance. You smash through it, and you're like, okay, the cloud of, like, you know, splintering wood flying into the air is going to block line of sight for a sec. Hopefully in that time you can run to the end of the alley and she won't know whether you've gone right or left, right?
Mm-hmm.
There is no right or left. It's a dead end.
Oh.
And she is blocking the entrance. Meyer.
Real quick. I think she does. You tick trauma by, I believe, stress resets, if I recall.
Oh, good point. Yeah. Okay. We'll do that.
Yes.
Meyer, you and Skurlock have made your way to the surface now.
Mm-hmm.
You are down by that tower there.
Mm.
So I'll go ahead and... I wish I could just... Okay, I guess I'll do that. That sucks.
It's fine.
But yeah, you are looking upon the city of White Crown from one of the sort of like the lightning towers that sort of generate the shield that protects the city.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird in the air tonight, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the city, like, it's not dark because it's White Crown. They're not going to be without power completely, but a lot of the power is very low. The lights are real low, and only certain key buildings are really lit up. One of them being off in the distance, Yord's Theater, because it even they have the Parliament here. They're going all out. They've got, like, the spotlight shining into the air, and so it's pretty easy to see where you're supposed to go.
Mm-hmm.
Skurlock, for his part, brushes off, you know, his coat. Didn't exactly enjoy. It's not quite the sewer, but it's got sewer vibes, you know, mm-hmm. down in the Spirit Fast.
Sure.
And and brushes himself off a little bit. And he sort of glances at you expectantly. Like, all right, now phase two of your plan is what exactly?
Meyer, basically, like, at this point, they're not going to, of course, reveal the Soul Eraser pistol. I don't think they've revealed that at this point. But basically, like, Meyer, they sort of... She lays out, like, kind of with that, like, kind of just reiterates, like, okay, all the members of Parliament are in that building at this point. What I need to do is get in there so that I can take my chance against them. There will not be an opportunity quite like this, possibly ever. So... and, like, kind of, you know, basically lays out, like, okay, this is, like, the basics of my route.
Do you want to draw your route for me?
I mean, the route is, like, the, I thought we had mentioned, like, the sort of underground passageway that I had, like, sealed off that kept, like, the golems from appearing in the theater from, like, way.
Right, but you will need to get close to, the former parliament, which I believe was over here-ish.
Mm-hmm. So I guess the question at this point is, like, what is the, you know, are there people on the streets? Are there blue coats? Like, what's the vibe? Like, because at this point, like, it'd be one thing, you know, to just take back alleys, but, like, also at the same time, it's like, there's a bit of a ticking clock, you know?
Uh-huh. Why don't you roll for me?
Sure. What am I rolling?
Probably a survey in this instance.
Mm-hmm. Parameters?
Your risky standard.
I got a 2 and a 6.
Okay, a 6 is a 6, as they say. So, you catch sight, I'm going to say you have a spyglass. I'm not going to make that, like, load or anything for you. That's just a thing that...
That just makes sense to have.
Mm-hmm. And you can see from up on top of this hill. The blue coats aren't exactly, like, crowding the streets, but they are out in reasonable force. And you see them, like, you catch an instance of, like, a pair of blue coats, like, stopping someone from leaving their home and basically being, like, stay inside. You are not, we are doing a curfew tonight, you are staying inside.
Mm-hmm.
And more than that, the atmosphere is, like, you can tell that the lightning shield is straining extra hard tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And you can feel that, you know, like, spiritually, like, it is, things are bubbling. It feels like you're standing on a volcano that is not, like, active right now, but is not dead. And you're like, you know, something could happen any minute. Something could happen in 7 years. I don't know. But at some point, this is going to pop off.
Right.
And you can sort of feel the, like, the false calm. I will say, of course, you're going to get, like, on trying to move to your destination, I'm going to give you a bonus die because you have a pretty good idea of where to go and where what areas are not being covered as well.
Okay, I have an idea.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned that there's, like, a lot, and you mentioned a lot of, like, spiritual energy, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Is there a way for me to somehow, like, cause, like, some sort of, like, basically I want there to be a bit of a, well, maybe I'll keep the pandemonium aspect, like, kind of in my back pocket. But, like, I think at some point I might want to somehow tap into this, like, massive amounts of, like, spiritual power to, like, cause, like, some sort of, like, unwieldy result, because even if it's unwieldy, it may cause, like, you know, if there are people in the streets, it'll cause a disperse, like, you know, people to disperse.
I think what I'll give you, you know, carrying forward your six here, you can figure out, because of the properties of this, of the spirit eraser pistol, or the soul eraser, and the way it works, it kind of, it, you know, it wraps magic and stuff around a bullet, right? And you figure out that basically you could take advantage of that property of the gun and use, like, attune, basically, to channel a lot of spiritual energy through the gun, and you could shoot a temporary hole in the lightning field, which would definitely cause a fuss. If you just wanted to get some attention away from you, that would cause a ruckus.
Okay. I think that's something that, like, I'll, again, another thing I'll just kind of keep in my back pocket, because, like, I think the moment the soul eraser pistol comes out, like, you know, it's fairly dramatic. So
I will also note that, like, I mean, Meyer is smart enough to know that people would die. It would be bad.
But okay.
You know, the thing that the lightning field does is it doesn't necessarily keep out all spirits, but it does keep out the particularly nasty ones, right?
Right. All right. So what Meyer wants to do, she's going to, let's see. I think she's just going to work on, like, making her way through, like, the streets, like, try to get as close to the theater as possible. But, well,
I think Skurlock just says, "I'll meet you at the theater," and explodes into a cloud of bats.
Okay, that works for me. All right. So, all right, Meyer, like, is gonna, like, make her way down to the theater using kind of, like, the back alleys. I recognize this is probably going to be something I'm not particularly good at, but I would hope that my bonus die will carry forward.
Yeah, you'll get a bonus die, so you can roll prowl plus one. I'll say controlled standard.
Okay. I got a three.
Okay, well, that's a failure. But it is a controlled position, so I think what happens is, you sort of weave your way through back alleys. You're sticking more to the, if you note the compass rose and how our map is technically sideways, you're sticking to the northern side of White Crown, because a lot more of the focus is towards the southern side, given the whole spiritual kerfuffle. And so alleyways and northern side of the island, and you make your way there. And I think what you see is, some blue coats are standing outside the, like, the, what has happened to the spot is that it has kind of been, like, it's still, like, a sort of a husk of a building, but work has sort of begun to tear it down, right? And I think specifically what you see is some people you recognize from your time very early on in the parliamentary library. You see parliamentary librarians who are kind of going over the building with a, you know, a fine-toothed comb. And so getting into that tunnel is not going to be as easy as you thought.
Okay. Let's see. So basically it's these, two librarians are sifting through the rubble and, are trying, like, and basically are blocking my path inadvertently, but they're not aware of my presence.
Right. Hey, I just realized something.
What?
I might have misunderstood your plan. You know, this tunnel only goes to the library, right?
Whatever happened to that tunnel that was, like, in the theater itself?
This, but this is a different theater. This, the Parliament had the tunnel, the Eord's Theater. Oh, I see what you're thinking of, the one up from the Spirit Fast. I was thinking of the passageway into, okay, I had a misunderstanding this whole time. So what you're basically looking for is just a way to get back down into the spirit fast.
Mm-hmm.
So you can pop up through the basement.
Right. Yeah, the basement of the theater. Because if I recall, the rebuilt theater had an entry.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, we tried to make the show go well for the opening.
Yeah, yeah, okay. So I think then this gets a little easier for you, actually, because mm-hmm. this was an access you knew of, right?
Right.
That you could use these tunnels and that you could get down to the Spirit Fast from there. But you know that other entrances exist. You would have to try and find them. If you don't want to use this one. If you want to use this one, okay. Otherwise, you're going to have to do some rolls to try and figure out where another entrance is. And they're not going to be rolls you're very good at, I think.
Right.
And if tonight's rolls have been any indication, might just be best to stick with what you have.
Or it's also the final. It's the finale, so let's go crazy a little. I mean, I could declare a piece of load, declare the classic, regular pistol, and, try and threaten these people away.
There are blue coats. They're not as easily threatened by that.
Oh, they're blue coats. Okay.
Yeah, they're the blue coats outside, inside are...
I thought they were librarians. So, okay.
The librarians are the ones inside.
Got it.
So blue coats are guarding the spot while the librarians do work.
Okay. Let's see.
I see that you have subterfuge supplies as an option. Maybe you could, like, get a disguise, like a little mustache or something, and hit that way.
Let's see. Give me a second.
I will note, if that is a path you're interested in, don't forget to pop it down and read the description.
Right, right. I saw that, like, you can forge a number of things. All right.
And I'm not sticking to, like, the letter of what it says there, but something in that spirit, obviously.
Right. I mean... Part of inside of Maya are two wolves, right?
Doug and Karos?
Yes. So what I would like to do is, what are kind of the objects like kind of surrounding the blue coat? See, I see this wrecked building. It's like, basically, I'm trying to see, like, I want to like use Doug and Karos to like do a ghost trick to somehow get them to like cause a distraction to let me slip in.
I see. I think,
or
they're all,
or just take the most direct route, have Doug and Karos form into a bale, and it's like just smash our way through.
Up to you. I think most of the like the wall has been stripped away, but a lot of the frame of the building is still there, and some of it is on the weaker side. Like a ghost trick could theoretically like drop a beam or something. But mostly I think it is the librarians, and I think they have probably a little like a little cart they have their supplies on for when they have anything that's of particular note. By observing, you're basically like they suspect that something is up with this building or was up with this building, and they're just trying to make sure that like there is nothing dangerous too close to Parliament and the library. So that's why they're going over the building like this. It's like, okay, things have been like, the building is now mostly stable. They've done enough like pulling down parts of the building that would have just fallen down if someone tried to walk inside.
Mm-hmm.
And they have an opportunity now. They are going in and they are sort of searching the building to make sure that they can just safely tear it down and build something over it, or if there's a problem.
Okay. Here's what I'm thinking. Could I command Doug and Karos to, like, make, like, their cart, like, start moving on its own and then have it in such a way where it, like, bumps into something that causes something to fall over to chain react to, like, cause like a small, maybe not a small demolition, but like a beam to start swinging that they're like, oh wait, this shit's still dangerous. Right.
I mean, you'd make it a tutor roll for that. See how it goes.
Let's go for it. What's my parameters?
Risky standard.
Got it. One in a four.
Four is a partial success.
Okay.
So I think Doug and Karos do possess that thing. And I think it's kind of like, it's funny to be able to just sit there and watch it work because they did a lot of practice, right? But like mostly you were having them move smaller things. Mm-hmm. And for something bigger, basically the way it works is that Karos is sort of doing power and Doug is like steering, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're pushing the cart along and a librarian sort of looks up and is just watching it like, the fuck? And then it hits, like, there's, like, some rubble on the ground, and the wheels hit it, and the cart sort of jumps. Mm-hmm. And Karos, like, sort of, like, tries to power over it. Doug tries to correct, overcorrects again, and the cart just sort of, like, swerves dramatically, like a car that has, like, is trying to get out of a slide poorly, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it slams into a beam, and like vials fall off of the cart and hit the ground. And you see like, okay, there's electroplasm, right? You see some of that. And then you see like something like cleaning alcohol and stuff mm-hmm. that just splashes down. There's a lot of that pours over the ground. And then a lantern falls on top of that. And the burning building is reignited.
Oh,
Cyborg. You only burn twice, Mr. Bond.
Let me put it this way. I think I know, should I go over the trauma? I think I know which trauma I'll be taking on. Anyhow, but that's a partial success. The thing is on fire. Do I have an opportunity to get to the entrance?
Yes and no, right?
Mm.
You have an opportunity to get to the entrance. If you want to get inside, you're going through fire.
Well,
that's what makes it not a full success, is the flames are kind of where you want it to be.
It's okay, you can just step around the fire.
Could I, let's see. I want to do something to somehow, like, basically, what I just need to do is, like, I was thinking of, like, somehow tapping into my abilities with Tempest to, like, basically, like, surround myself with, like, such severe, like, moisture that, like, I can, like, book through the, like, inferno, as it were. Mm-hmm. Like, and even if this involves pushing myself, like, I'll do it for sure. But, like, I think what it is that, like, I, like, you know, use, like, you know, the magic of, like, the Tempest magic to, like, create a sort of, like, barrier of, like, well, just water, basically. It's kind of like, you know, the old thing, you douse yourself in water before rushing through a fire sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. I'll let you do this. It's going to be very hard because it's a very precise use of a power that is not precise.
Okay. Let's see. So I have to push myself for this?
Yes.
Okay, so I think I know how this, because this is going to, like, roll me over to the next trauma. And I have an idea of how this, like, kind of plays out. Because I think what happens, and you can cut me off anytime, really, but, like, what kind of happens here is I think Meyer, like, surrounds herself in, like, this, like, veil of, like, water, right? Pushing herself. And as she is rushing by, she sees, like, the burning bodies, right, of these people. These people that had no idea what was going on. They were just doing whatever. They are burning, and
I think they're not directly in the fire themselves.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
They are doing the Sims, like, panicking around the fire.
Well, I mean, like, I guess more broadly, my point is that, like, basically, at this point, Meyer, like, sees these people who are on fire, in trouble, whatever, and just rushes past. Like, and at this point, like, I think she's rather, well, vicious. Like,
okay.
This is the moment of Meyer being, like, takes no prisoners sort of, like, attitude. Just kind of, like, turns, like, clicks in her mind.
Would that be vicious or cold, though?
It seems more cold. That's true.
Okay, yeah. Vicious might come later. But yeah, cold.
You're just planning on stacking up trauma like it's a game of Jenga, huh?
I believe in the... I don't know if they write this in the rulebook, but they say to ride your character like a bicycle.
Wow. I tend to avoid riding over glass. But, yeah. You know. Okay, well, that's still a roll.
Okay.
It sounds like finesse just to, like, basically run and, like, I don't know, are you just, like, sliding into the tunnel, like, under the cover of flames, or what?
I think what it is that I get in there, I have this push, and it's like, I think what it'll be is just simply, like, either finding the handle and, like, whipping it, like, open, or heck, even using some of the, like, the residual energy of, like, the spirit fast, right, to somehow, like, cause, like, some sort of, like, burst of air that makes the door fling open. I don't know. So, yeah. I don't know. I think it would be kind of sick to be, like, tapping into, like, the spirit fast itself to, like, cause, like, some sort of, like, puff of energy to come from below the earth to, like, make the door burst open.
Okay. Do you want to use any lightning while you're on it? Tempest Plus, you get to use lightning anytime you push yourself.
Can I, like, hook the lightning, like, off of, like, something metal and back into myself to charge my reserves even further?
I don't know that there's anything really metal left in this building. You could hit yourself with lightning.
I mean, that's kind of true. Like, basically, I could just be, like, basically with my hands, like, I imagine the hands are, like, my conduit for, like, the lightning. I just kind of, like, as I've wrapped my hands around myself to, like, run through this fire coated in water, like, I use the conduction to, like, the conduciveness of, like, the water itself to, like, feed the electricity into my copper spine to get myself, like, one more charge.
Not one more charge. There's a lot of electricity in lightning.
Well, however...
We'll see your roll, yeah. You know, and we'll talk about it.
All right.
But go ahead and roll finesse. This is 1d6. You get one bonus die, but it is...
How is this a finesse?
Because you're moving fast. You're trying to do this quickly to get through the fire and through things before people are able to react to you. If you have an idea for something else, I can't see anything else.
And the magic is already, like, happening. So it's like, that's... Okay, fair. And I don't really... Even if I argued for Prowl or Skirmish, it would be the same, like... dots. Okay, fine.
Also, how the hell would you argue for Skirmish?
I'm just saying.
I'm doing it, I punch somebody.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah, brother. What's the parameters? Risky standard, risky what?
I think the benefit you're getting from the water and everything is that you're able to do this in one push, so I will, instead of being, like, limited, it is standard. So this is I'll let this be risky standard. There's an argument for desperate, but I'll make it risky.
And one bonus die?
One bonus die.
I rolled a 5.
Wow.
I
rolled a 5.
Okay. It's another high partial roller. Success. This is the standard for high rolling. Yep.
Yeah.
So you sprint forward, right? And there's a moment where the blue coats are like, oh, you know, someone saw the fire. It's a helpful citizen, right? And then the bolt of lightning strikes you.
Mm-hmm.
They are not hit by the lightning themselves, but you've never done this before, right?
Mm-hmm.
But basically what happens is the lightning comes into you and you store what you can, and the rest of it goes down to the through your feet to the floor, to the ground, and there's just a shockwave of like a blast, right? It knocks the blue coats off their feet. I imagine it would probably also knock the librarians off their feet.
Mm-hmm.
You dash through the fire, and it feels hot, but you don't feel like you're being burned. And you slide towards the inconspicuous hatch on the ground that you still recall.
Mm-hmm.
There is still electricity sparking off of you, and so when you reach for it, it magnetically rips open, which it would have otherwise been hard to open it. And you just slide right in and slam it behind you. You can hear muffled shouting from above. You are down in the tunnel, and you have a overflowing charge.
Okay.
Which means that you have to use it within the next hour, or it is going to hurt you.
Okay.
Scully.
Yeah?
You are at the end of an alleyway in White Crown. It's a dead end. At the front of it is your rival, Chael, in golem form. Chael is sort of standing there, like, not in a rush. You don't have anywhere to go. Buildings, like, you know, if this were in the docks or something, you could, like, shoulder check a wall and go that way, because you're a pretty big, tough lady. This is White Crown. These are stone buildings. You're not getting through that way. And also, they tidy up, so there aren't, like, a bunch of, like, random crates for you to try and climb up under the roof from. It's a pretty bad situation. As you stand there, Chael, like, takes one step closer, just sort of perfectly sealing the alleyway, so there's definitely no way through. And, you know, I think you, like, the moon is sort of hanging high over the scene. Very, very Castlevania, as you see some bats flying by it. And it's your move.
Okay. How tall exactly are these rooftops next to me?
Let me roll.
Okay.
My instinct is high, but I want to be fair. I want to give you a chance here. Logically thinking, most buildings around here would be high, but... Yeah, unfortunately, like, one is 3 stories, as one is 2.5.
Okay. Theoretically, would that be short enough for me to, like, throw a grappling hook on top of one of them and just climb a rope?
Yes, you could try that.
Okay. I guess the only issue is that if Chael sees this happening, she'll probably try and rush in, but,
Mm-hmm. And also, I mean... Grappling hooks aren't as easy to use as they are in movies. We'll see, you know?
Yeah.
I think most of the time when you throw a grappling hook, it just sort of doesn't hook onto anything and comes back down.
Yeah. I think it's worth trying, though.
Certainly. Certainly.
So would that be burglar gear or climbing gear?
That's climbing gear.
Okay.
The nice thing is, that means you also have the other things that come with climbing gear. You also have... you have a fair bit of rope for the grappling hooks, and I think you also have climbing harness sort of underneath your coat there. So if you wanted to, for instance, if you were like halfway up the wall, you could hook the grappling hook to your harness, and then your hands and legs would be free for action. We'll see if that ends up being relevant, but it's currently the case.
Worth a shot. Okay.
Yeah.
Would that be... finesse. Okay, finesse, yeah.
We're finesse happy today.
I'm gonna take some stress to add a bonus die.
Okay. I will give you some stress. You are rolling desperate standard.
Okay.
Which means if this goes bad, it will go quite bad.
6. Hot damn.
Okay. You throw it up towards the 2.5-story building, you're like, that'll probably be the safer bet, right? And it, like, You see it go up and it goes out of sight, and then it clangs off of something and like bounces back, and you're like, shit. And it hooks on to the third story building instead. And like, oh, okay, we take that. because of the angle it comes in, because of that, like it sort of like catches in and like digs in more than it would have, which means it has extra purchase on a surface that otherwise would be hard to get good purchase on. So you have it hooked in, and you start to climb. Chael is closing the distance, but you are about a story and a half up.
All right. Do I need to roll again to see if I get up there before?
If you don't want to if you don't want to do something from a story and a half up, yes, you would make a second roll to finish the climb.
Okay. Do I have any? Well, I guess I could do arcane implements and like, is there anything that would potentially, stun a golem? Like, if I threw down some ectoplasm or something?
That's not really what ectoplasm does. There's some, there was electroplasm, but we've seen that that doesn't work.
Yes, I have demonstrated that several times.
Okay, then. And I'm guessing normal weapons aren't really going to scare her.
I mean, what if it was a scary weapon or tool?
Like a gun that screams or something?
Yeah, Jen, exactly like that.
My God. I'm going to write a post on Too Bad, Too Son of Terror, like right now. It's like, oh, the attacker pulled out a knife. I pulled out my scary weapon. A gun that screams.
This gun, it speaks like a man. I'm so tired. I'm so tired all the time.
It's a millennial, like that. It's a millennial gun.
Okay. Look. I got an idea instead.
Oh,
okay.
Boy.
All right.
Fire might be enough to do something.
Okay. What's your source of fire?
Lantern.
You know that's not very much fire.
It's like
Also,
go ahead.
That's like, you either have an oil lamp or you have an electroplasm lamp. I assume you're not having an electroplasmic lamp because we've confirmed for this purpose it would do nothing. You haven't tried fire before, but this is not. Like,
do rocks yeah. Burn, Jen?
Probably not. Okay.
Has Chael at any point said some joke about between a rock and a hard place?
No.
She should.
Okay. Demolition tools then.
Okay, if you open the definition of demolition tools, you can have a sledgehammer and iron spikes, a heavy drill, or a crowbar. Let you have a crowbar with either one of those. What would you like?
Okay, so it doesn't include something like a bomb, then?
No, it does not include a bomb. Bombs are kind of a big deal.
Okay. And I don't have anything else.
There was an instance where I allowed... just for, you know, because for the listener being like, hey, but what about, there was an instance where I allowed Quellen to have it as part of demolition tools because Quellen is a fire bug.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And there's only one solar racer pistol in this game, right? And it's not something...
No, you both have one. You both have one.
I could just use that then. Okay.
A sense of tension or escalation, Jim.
It's also just kind of like you know, oh god, I'm being held at gunpoint. Oh, I could just commit a war crime. Like, yeah, I guess that's true.
Okay, I guess I'll try and climb again. There we go.
Listen, if you think Scully would use the solar racer, do it.
I guess I'm not in a desperate enough situation to do that yet, so I'm gonna try climbing.
I mean, you literally are in a desperate situation, but.
Yes, but I still
have
the...
position is desperate.
I have the upper hand right now.
Do you?
I mean, I climbed up pretty high.
She has guns, Jen.
Okay.
I'm not trying to get you to use the solar racer. I just want you to understand the situation you're in.
Okay.
I know what I would do, and it would go poorly, but it would be cool.
Okay. What does the rage essence file do?
Okay. The rage essence vial is like, you played Final Fantasy, right?
Yeah.
You know the berserk status ailment?
Yeah.
You just inflict it on yourself when you drink it, basically.
Oh, so that would make it harder to, like, climb up and escape then.
I mean, you could drink it and then basically decide to use the momentum of falling to, like, do an elbow drop on jail.
Yeah, basically, it's not impossible. Like, it doesn't take away control of your character, but it is, like, basically, it is like a resistance roll to not do violence while under the effect of a Rage Essence vial. You'll be really good at it. I'll say that.
Okay. I think I'm going to hold that for now, and I'm just going to try and, I'm going to try and climb better.
Okay. All right. Go ahead and climb.
Okay. I really want to make this work, so I'm going to take 2 more stress, if that's okay.
Sure.
Okay.
Desperate standard.
All right. Finesse, desperate standard. Plus 1. 6!
All right. There is a bang, and, like, you hear it, like, the rock, like, crack, but it is strong enough that the bullet doesn't even embed properly in the wall, because it's good stone here. And you, like, scramble yourself up to the top, like, you are, like, doing, like, methodical climbing, and then you hear the gunshot and the bullet hit, and you're like, ah, and you kind of just scramble up a little faster, a little less practiced, but fast enough. And you haul yourself over, the top of the roof. Down below, you hear, what would this sound like? You know the sound of metal on steel, or metal on rock?
Yeah.
It's like that, but it's bassier, it's deeper, and it's more, I hate for this play on words, but more pointed. It's like a rocky thunk.
Mm.
And then you hear another. You are now standing on top of this rooftop. This building has roof access, which is unusual, but it is just like a hatch with a ladder. There are a few skylights. And down below, you can see that I don't think you can see quite well enough to see what type of building it is, but you can see that it seems like the room down below is deserted. The moon is shining bright in your face. You'd sort of swat a bat out of your face.
Okay.
Then 5 more follow.
How close am I to other rooftops in this situation? Like, am I in jumping distance?
It would be rough, but you could try.
Okay. Because I was thinking maybe I could parkour my way back over to the theater.
It would be difficult. It wouldn't be impossible.
Okay. Probably safer to get inside the building and, like, find my way to ground level, huh?
Probably.
Okay, let's do that then.
Okay, how are you doing that?
For the ladder, is it, like, leading me close to the side where they're doing, like, where Chael is presumably climbing, or?
It is kind of, what? It is like a, it's close to the middle of the building, because it is like an access to, like, a, to, like, the rafters above the room itself.
Okay. So both the ladder and the skylights lead to the same room.
Yes. The skylights would be a bigger fall, because you wouldn't land on the rafters. You'd just go down to the room below.
Okay. I'm going to take the ladder then.
Okay, the hatch over the ladder is locked.
Oh.
You can break it, but, you know. Or pick it. I don't know. Are you good at picking locks?
I guess I have a 1 in finesse, so not particularly.
It'd probably be prowl, but yeah.
Okay.
Because it's a sneaky thing.
Well. I guess I'm going through the skylight then.
Okay. This is a wreck.
Okay.
Risky limited.
Six.
All right, sure. I think, like, you sort of walk up and, like, knock your knuckles on the glass to see how thick it is. And you're like, eh, this ain't shit. And you just crash through it like the fucking Kool-Aid man. you land, I think with a little bit of the grappling hook, you, like, sort of, like, grab onto the rafters for a sec just to sort of, like, lose a little bit of the momentum before you hit the ground. And so you're able to land in a tuck and roll, and you sort of roll through some piece of furniture, and it hurts, but you don't take any damage, right? It's sort of like, oof, that wasn't ideal. But you end up in after a little bit of a roll, you end up in a crouch with, you know, light coming in more heavily now that you've smashed in the skylight. A lot of silvery light lighting up, and you are in that light itself. So the room is in darkness, and your eyes are having trouble adjusting because you're in the light.
Okay.
But you have landed safely.
I guess I look for a way out of that room so I can get to ground level.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think this is a roll. That'd be silly.
Yeah.
I think, like, you have the sense to, like, step into the darkness so your eyes adjust a little better to the darkness and you can see that better. And this appears to be, like, a display room, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are a bunch of cases, they're on legs, right? But they're, like, you know, imagine a desk, but it's a display case, right? It's on legs. One of which you rolled through. And it is various, I don't know, trinkets of some sort. They don't really mean much to you. And you do spot that there is, like, on either side, there is a staircase down.
All right,
It's an open staircase, I will note. So you can also just vault over a railing if you want to. But
would that be a roll as opposed to just walking down the stairs?
I haven't decided what's downstairs yet.
Oh.
Give me a second to think. Nah, either way is fine.
Okay, I'm just going to go over the railing then.
Okay. Yeah, you land at a bit of a crouch in front of a set. Like, there's a bit of an entranceway. There are some displays along here. Behind you is a big set of doors that are, like, sturdier and you can't see through. Right. The intention is clear that people enter and then immediately head up the stairs. And yeah, the front doors are in front of you.
Okay.
So for anyone who's doing architecture here, it was a 3-story building in height, but it's just that the second story was basically 2 stories tall.
Okay. And I'm guessing Chael would still be, like, in the alleyway, right? So I could just open these up and sprint.
You don't know where she is, but sure.
Okay. I'm going to open the doors.
Okay. And you're going to run back to Eord's?
Yep.
All right. Finesse me. Or prowl. Your call.
I'm going to do finesse because that has a point in it.
Okay.
Risky standard?
Yep.
Oh no, a 1. Oh no. Oh, I got too cocky because of all my 6s.
You run forward and you put a hand on the doors and, you know, like, you know, it's like the running push, right? And you just like slam your face into the doors. Because they don't open. And I think as you sort of like drop down and you're like, ow, fuck. I'm going to give you level one harm, broken nose.
Ow.
Which might be a higher harm for someone else, but Scully's had a broken nose before.
Yeah.
And I think you catch sight of someone, like a tall, thin figure who is near the doors, who seems to like glance in to confirm and then turns and walks away.
Shit. Okay. So these doors are locked then. I'll need to find
them. Locked, and I mean, you would have just smashed through like a lock. They're probably barred as well.
Okay. I guess I'm going to search around the ground floor to see if there's a side exit or something.
Okay. So there are those big double doors to the rest of the area, but from here otherwise the entrance area is pretty small. And it just leads up to that that second floor again.
So there are no other doors?
I mean, there's the big double doors, as I say, deeper into the building. But in this first room, there are not.
Okay, let's go deeper into the building then, see if there's any other doors.
Okay. The big double doors are locked, but it is a padlock in front of you.
Okay.
So in theory, you could deal with it in some way, is what I'm implying.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let's
You need to remember that you're a big lady who smashes things for a living.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to punch the shit out of that lock. Going to break it in half.
Jen, you are not Broly. You don't punch a padlock. That's not how you break locks.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to get something in between to wedge it.
You are a higher mammal. You use tools.
We have technology.
Okay, I'm going to...
SpongeBob!
I'm going to break it with a tool, then.
What tool?
Let's go with, like, the... What do we get? Like, climbing gear again?
Rope?
We have a small mallet. Dumbs. We use the mallet to break it.
Okay, sure. Roll rec.
Okay. This time I'm going to... Is it risky or desperate?
It's desperate.
Okay. Desperate standard or limited?
Standard.
6!
Okay. You, like, whack the padlock, and it is not of, like, it looks like it's well made. It is not. They've been using the same one for too long, and you just smash it right off that bit. As you push the door opens, you hear a very loud thunk up on the second floor and, like, splintering of the floor. Kind of like someone fired a cannonball into it or something.
All right, time to run then.
Yeah, you push open the doors, and what awaits you is just like a big room with just like shelf after shelf of organized, you know, little tchotchkes.
Okay, and there's no other door in here?
It's not lit. And it's the room is pretty deep. If you run in, you could find out.
Okay, let's get in there and see if there's another place to go.
Okay, yeah, you head in, and yep, there are back doors.
All right, let's take the back door.
Okay, give me a rec.
Okay. Desperate standard or risky standard?
Risky, you got some distance from jail with that last roll.
Okay. 4.
Okay. You shoulder check open the door. And you are now standing out in a back alleyway. From above, you hear glass shattering. I assume you're going to head back to Eorts?
Yep.
All right. You start heading back to Eorts. Meyer.
Woohoo!
Yes.
You made it into the Spirit Fast.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you have something you want to do along the way, I don't know that your journey there is particularly interesting.
Yeah, like, unless, like, even if it was just, like, Meyer just begins to reflect on the journey, she realizes that, like, she knows what she needs to be done, and she just moves on through the Spirit Fast.
Okay. And you climb up through into the basement of Eorts Theater. You climb in. The basement is, I think you have to do a little more work than you used to because they tried to cover it up, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's not, you know, it's not interesting to make this a roll. So you force aside like the metal they sort of bolted over it. You slide up through. There are a bunch of like costumes and stuff that are stored down here. Like bits of set, not the full set themselves because they're too big to be stored down here. They'd be too tall to fit. Mm-hmm. But, you know, smaller pieces and stuff and furniture, set furniture and stuff.
Right.
There are, like act swords, you know, like trick daggers and stuff like that. And above you, you can hear amplified through, you know, some microphones and stuff. Clearly stage acting. Voices.
Okay. So I'm in the basement of the costume department, or at the very least storage, right?
You're just in the basement. You've been here before. Mm-hmm. And it's just like they just use the basement for storage, which, you know, a lot of people do, you know.
Right.
This is long-term storage. You know from previous experience where you'll end up if you come out through the stairs, which is sort of like at the side of the theater. Because the stairs twist a little bit so that they can fit this room in the side of the theater, but then also have you come out the side so you're inconspicuous.
Right.
Makes it annoying to unload things, but they have a freight elevator for that too, if you wanted to head up to the stage, I guess.
It would be, oh, so the freight elevator, it takes me to backstage, right?
Yeah, I mean, if the stage is in full display,
mm-hmm.
like they can sort of expand how much of the stage is visible. And if it's in full display, they can use it, like it could be visible. But it doesn't sound like there are a ton of people up there. So you're wagering that they're not using the full stage. And when I say freight elevator, it's by the setting standards, right? This isn't, you know, you're not going to hear like klaxons and shit. This is just like, you know, got heavy counterweights and stuff.
Sure. So I guess like what Meyer wants to do is, could I like, what Meyer ultimately wants to do is make sure that she can basically get to the stage itself and make sure that like I guess I need to confirm that my targets are there. Can I just have like Doug and Karos like move through like in a, like move through the ether like move around.
I feel like that's more complicated than it needs to be, honestly. You can just go up the stairs and open the door a crack and peek out.
That's kind of what I want to do. Yeah, I'm going to take take a stock of my surroundings. Like, let's just say it. Like, I get up there, I take a crack, like, I open the door, and I want to observe what's going on.
So I'm going to make this a roll, but I want you to understand that the risks are not you getting caught for doing this, right? Mm-hmm. It's just to determine how fortunate or unfortunate the current state of affairs inside the theater is.
So this would be like a fortune roll.
I mean, it's not a fortune roll because it could be bad news.
Right.
But it's like, this is a Schrodinger's cat situation, to be a visual novel for a moment. You are opening the box and you are finding out how bad it is.
Sure.
It's however bad it is already true. You are not changing that with this action. It's just, this is the moment you are learning. Okay. And so basically anything you did that would get this information, I would have made you roll to find out how bad it is.
Sure. All right. So what am I rolling?
You're rolling survey, I suppose.
Okay. Okay. Because there is a way to do survey fortune roll if we're just figuring out like what the straight up and down roll is going to be.
Okay, fair enough. We can just do that.
No bonuses. 3 and 3.
Okay. So you look out and you can see that there are a bunch of members of parliament in the seats, in the stands. In the seats. The stands are not really being used tonight.
Right.
I think perhaps there are some friends and family of parliament up there, mm-hmm. but they are intentionally up high so they are not within earshot because some of the senators are paying rapt attention, but a lot of them are sort of glancing up at the stage occasionally while holding conversations with each other. Up on stage, you can see that there are two actors, and they are performing a play that I think you recognize from some of the lines as you're waiting here for a moment. Mm-hmm. This is a play called The Alleys of Centra, which is basically this setting's equivalent of Waiting for Godot. It is a, like, just two actors the whole time. No one else gets up here. Meyer wouldn't know this because didn't have the conversation with Dietrich, but this is Dietrich's way of minimizing risk by having minimal people on stage.
Mm-hmm.
And they are just holding, like, a sort of a back-and-forth conversation with some pretty witty lines and some, you know, existential lines about, like, the way the city's going, a fictional city. You do not see Elias Esterwick. You do not see the Lord Mayor.
Okay. So now, like, I have an idea.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to be kind of like a twofold thing.
Is it going to be reckless or cold?
Maybe a little both. What I am trying to do is basically, like, my intentions are, well, if my target, like, I assume, like, so the people that I am here to, like, kill, like, two of them are not here. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. But I do have other members of parliament present.
Yes. Basically everyone else, because this is sort of an all-hands situation, even though it's interesting because it is an all-hands situation, but you can tell some people are not being involved.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, how necessary is it to be an all-hands? Is this, we're making it all-hands to make everyone feel important, even though some of you are not, whatever.
Mm-hmm. All right. So what I am thinking is I need to make sure Elias, like, gets here, right? Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, basically, I need to turn this, like, I need to turn this theater into a hostage situation.
Okay.
I need to take these senators, like, basically hostage with the intention of, like, getting the other members of parliament here.
And the nature of the soul eraser isn't really known to most people here, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you haven't talked to them. You don't know what they know.
Okay. Right.
It was news to you, a pair of 2-bit thugs from the docks, but, you know. I'm sorry, 3-bit.
Thank you.
You've been working hard.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think I don't notice.
Yeah, what I'm thinking is I need to, I mean, I would just try and keep it simple. I need to take the senators hostage, and basically my demands are I need to speak to Elias Hesterwick. Like, I need to have the members of Parliament, like, here with the, like, my intention being, you know, I don't know how to put it, but yeah, that's the long and short of it. I want to, like, take hostages to get, like, Elias Hesterwick's attention in the room with me.
Okay. What is the plan? There are enough senators that it seems like just trying to hold them at gunpoint would be tricky. Also, there are other people present too.
I wonder if this is the part where, like, my deal, like, comes into play. I'm not sure. I need to somehow bind them to this place, right? Like, I need some sort of way to make sure that they cannot, or more accurately, will not leave.
Well, the door's already barred everywhere else, right?
Right. But, like...
But also, she doesn't know that.
Right. And because here's the thing, if I, like, start a panic, they all are going to rush for the doors, and at that point, my targets could be lost, right?
Sure.
I need to basically get their eyes on me. Okay. I have an idea. And Six, I think you're going to like this. The nature of... Zatara was a muse, right?
Yes. Oh, okay. Yes.
I need to part of my deal, right? I don't know how this plays out, but basically, somehow I need to get on stage and steal the show that, like, brings all eyes on me, including, and just draws, like, Elias in. You know? Like, somehow in this moment, like, I am basically selling my soul to do on the performance of a lifetime.
Okay, so are you ready for a very special roll?
I am so ready for this.
You are going to be rolling Sway. You have 2 bonus die. It's desperate great.
Wow. Okay.
2 bonus die, desperate great. And I'll take on 2 stress. Listen, I need to tack on as much advantage as I can. I'm going to take on 2 stress doing this, because basically it's like, basically I am willingly allowing Zatara to, like, take possession of my body.
And it is part of, like, I mean, ordinarily I would include your lightly shot here. I will not, because your possession, like, the it's not direct possession. That's not quite how she works, but sort of the inspiration, as it were. And then also, that's part of why I'm not asking you for details, is because they have to come from Zatara, not from you.
Right.
So.
3, so I take on the 2 stress, 3 bonus die, sway. Here we go. 5, 3, and 4.
Okay. A partial success with great effect. You step onto the elevator.
Mm-hmm.
And you flip the lever to sort of turn off the counterweights. And it raises up with, like, and there's, like, a heavy bang as it reaches the top.
Mm-hmm.
Because normally this is a 2-person process and you kind of do the sloppy quick version. And you sweep through the curtains with, can I declare 2 pistols for you?
Absolutely.
Okay. With 2 pistols in hand. And you smoothly insert yourself into the play, because this is not the alleys of Centaura. This is the alleys of Duskfall, and it's about the current state of the city, and you are an actor playing known terrorist Meyer Skora.
And it's something along the lines of, like, I imagine there's some line between the two actors saying something. They're about to, like, say, like, it's like, oh, the mid, it's like we're about the middle point, like, about to enter into, like, Act 3, right? Mm-hmm. And they say, oh, in this city that they're talking about, hasn't been mentioned at this point. And the actor mentions, like, oh, you know, there is something on the streets of, and right before that happens, I imagine two pistol shots, like, erupt from off screen, or not off screen, off stage. And I imagine I kick around a sign, right, that basically says welcome to Duskfall, you know.
And it is a great moment. You step onto stage, right? Mm-hmm. And this is the part where normally that, like, the play has been building that ordinarily the way it goes is that they have these great tensions about, like, what's going on in the city, and then the reveal is that it's just another day, right? This is the turn where it's like everyone has anxieties and they're upon us every day, but ultimately, you know, the sun sets, the sun rises, days just continue to roll. This is not actually that special of a day. This is that special of a day because you step on stage and these two actors who were picked intentionally by Dietrich to be the ones who were the best at improv because he didn't know what was going to happen in here tonight. Mm-hmm. Just roll with it. And you toss them your guns and you have them reload them for you because they are your subordinates. They have been waiting for you to arrive in this play.
Basically saying something of like, oh, they, what a wonderful show, but I think it is finally time that we acted, shall we? And then you hear the reloading of the guns, right?
Yeah, and everyone is transfixed. This is still part of the play. It's just a very, like, you know, that, wow, this is a really dramatic, like, postmodernist angle for this play. Everyone's struck by it. Transfixed as you begin to monologue about how you're going to kill Parliament and burn down the structures of the city. Everyone's like, wow. And there is one person in the back who knows you're the real you. And they're like, oh, fuck, I gotta go get Elias.
Right. As I, like, start, I'll, like, go, it's like, the fires of revolution will bring forth so much change. It will ignite in the hearts of every man, woman, child in this city. And just, like, everyone's just, like, suddenly, like, enraptured. You know, it's like, the sparks of, like, the sparks are flames will erupt in ways that can be seen for not even this moment, but for centuries onward.
The guy's just like, I think I'm in trouble.
I'm in danger.
And he slips out the front door and he dashes over to a cafe across the street, a cafe that appears to be closed. But it's just closed for a private party of Elias and the Lord Mayor, who were nearby. And we're going to step in at a certain point, but they wanted to spend as little time in the building as possible because they knew that this was a target. And they kind of wanted it to be, right? They kind of wanted this to be bait. But they also wanted, if you didn't take the bait, to get something productive out of it. Elias wants to win either way things go. The man informs him that not only are you there, but clearly the staff of the theater are working with you, are co-conspirators, and he should assume that everyone there is an assassin there to take down the Parliament. And Mr. Esterwick, we need you. And Elias Esterwick stands. And says, Lord Mayor, please feel free to bring your guards, but I am going to need you as well. This might get a little messy, and your abilities are useful. And Elias walks towards the doors. Scully.
Yeah.
You are dashing down the street. Because at this point you've reached a point where it is kind of deserted, and you see Elias Esterwick walking towards the front doors of the theater.
I'm going to try something stupid here.
Okay, go for it.
I'm going to take the soul eraser pistol and shoot him in the back.
Well, kind of in the side, but, you know, you could go for the head. All right. I will mark for you that you have the soul eraser pistol in your inventory. It's taking up a slot. Bang. This is a skirmish.
Okay. Do I get a bonus because I'm catching him unawares?
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay. And alongside that, I'd also like to take stress to make sure I really try and nail this one.
Okay.
Okay, so is that like two bonus die and let's see.
Yeah, two bonus die, risky great. It's hard to imagine trying to use the soul eraser against a human being or any sentient entity and it not being great effect.
Okay.
So,
I think this is the one time it'd be extreme, but sure.
I mean, you know.
Yeah, no.
5, 4, 3, 1, so 5.
You pull the trigger. The bullet hits Elias Esterwick right above the left ear. You see his body start to like move from the impact, but moving, there is a second copy of his body that is moving faster from the impact, and you realize it is his spirit. And it hits the ground and just explodes, and it is just gone. The body hits the ground. The Lord Mayor and his guards pivot, and they pull up pistols and they start to fire. You can resist, or you're going to get shot.
I'm gonna resist.
Okay.
Is that prowess or resolve?
That's probably resolve.
Okay.
Even if it's not like, even if it's not a resolve move, I think in this moment, the thing that we are narratively highlighting is the resolve it took for Scully to just fucking draw in that moment.
Fucking ice cold. And you know what? I love it.
Okay. Resolve, bonus dice 0. Let's see how this goes. 6.
Okay,
sweet.
You do not take any stress as the bullets whiz. You didn't take your bonus die, but that's fine.
Oh, okay.
From allergic to bullets.
Oh, right, yeah.
Roll one more. If you get another 6, that's a critical.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Roll one more? Okay.
Just roll one more. Yeah.
Just roll 1d6.
Yeah.
It was a 6. You heal 1 stress.
Oh, excellent.
You are just standing there, and you, like, it's a moment where you do the cool thing where you fired the gun, and it's a black powder gun. It gets one shot, right? And then you have to reload it.
Mm-hmm.
And so you let go of the gun, and it's falling smoking from your hands, and you're like, wait, if I reload this, this is still useful. And so it is like sloppy as far as like your thought process, but it looks perfectly elegant when your other hand reaches out as the gun like falls and spins, catches it by the handle and deftly tucks it underneath your coat. And now you're just standing there making a finger gun at a man you erased from reality. and the guards open fire and they're just going wide. They are shaken by what just happened. And also it's a long shot in the dark. And also, they are expecting you to dodge, and you do not. The bullets whiz around you. The bunch of smoke, because pistols don't make that much smoke from black powder, but when 4 people standing in a tight formation all fire, it's a fair bit of smoke. And when the smoke drifts out of their faces, you are just not there. You've ducked into a side alley.
And I think what happens is that, like, so Meyer is, like, tuned to, like, you know, the world of spirits, right?
Oh, yeah, I mean, this, I was gonna say, basically, like, this is, you aren't a person who just generally passively senses spirits, right? Mm-hmm. You sort of have to focus to do it.
Right.
But this is this is bad, right? It feels like... it feels like someone jabbed you directly in a nerve you didn't know you had. Like, it is a weird and awful sensation you've never felt before.
Mm-hmm.
And you're the only one in the building who senses it.
I imagine, like, effort, like, I feel this moment. Like, so, like, Meyer feels this moment, and she, like, clutches down, and, like, the two actors go, like, Meyer, it's like, have you been afflicted? Or something like that. They're just rolling with it. And then the gunshots, like, start, like start echoing from inside the theater, and then Meyer then goes, it's like, yes, the sounds of guns, they sing out into the night. They strike a chord with what is about to happen in this particular moment. Gentlemen, this is the rallying cry of the Valkyries as we ride into Valhalla.
And a parliamentarian leans over to one of the others and is like, the Foley for that was really good. It sounded far away.
And my children, this moment will not be silent. It will not be a single moment, or it will not be a dull thud. It will strike this place like a crack of lightning. And I unleash the lightning from my hands to kill basically every senator in the front row.
Unlimited power!
And right. Just vaporize them.
God, the I way mean, this is going.
This isn't a tune.
Okay. Let's see. Do I have to push myself? I'm just letting go of, like,
You're just letting go. You don't have to push yourself.
Okay. All right. Well, a tune, and screw it. I'm pushing myself as well.
Okay.
Desperate, risky, whatever
you like. Desperate, great. Just it seems fair that there should be a risk associated with erasing everyone with one blow.
4-2-1. Okay.
That
is my result.
That's actually perfect.
Oh.
Because you reach out and just hell flies out of your fingers, right? It is not just the case that you kill them, like, the seats are mostly, like, burnt and gone. It is a hell of a blast, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you jerk back right after you do it, and you're like, oh man, that was the force of it taken out of me. And they're like, no, something feels off. And you feel yourself going into shock because you just got shot in the throat. You can resist if you want.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that if you successfully resist, it's just going to lower the harm to level two instead of level three.
Okay.
Or you can not if you don't want to.
Let's see.
The camp just to Meyer doesn't see this, but up in the stands,
mm-hmm.
the family and friends of the parliamentarians are staring at a person standing in their midst, Skurlock, who is holding a rifle.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see. Let's see. I think I'm going to try and resist this.
Okay.
But I think for narratively, I have an idea where to take this. But I'm going to try and resist this. I think... could I resist this with, I was personally thinking insight because I figured that guy would, like, try and betray me at some point.
Sure, that's fair.
Like, I figured, like, okay, this shit was coming, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, with insight it can be, like, you, out of the corner of your eye. Okay, you only take one stress. That's not bad.
And I kind of know what's, well, we'll just take it from here. So, yeah,
Yeah, you're getting shot in the side. Mm-hmm. I know my descriptors for injuries are not the most, like, poetic, sue me. You guys get shot a lot. I don't know what to do about that.
But I think what I'm thinking is I still get shot in the throat. Like, it's in the side. Like, I'm able to stop the bleeding or whatever. And you'd think it'd be like Meyer's voice, like, is, like, gone at this point, right?
Sure.
And, like, I it's one of those things where, like, you know, I imagine he's trying to, like, okay, I need to get her to shut up, right? Because I'm clearly, like captivating people. Shit's, like, popping off. And I think at that point, what, like, emanates from my throat isn't my own. Well, it is my own voice, but it's not even, like, the voices that the people in the theater are hearing are basically my, like, spirit. You know?
And what do they hear?
I think what they hear, what everybody hears in, like, almost, like, resonating into the back of their skulls is, like, the voice saying, like, did you truly believe that destroying the body would stop this? Did you truly believe that, like, taking away my voice, that's impossible? My voice is one of, like, the people. It is the voice that has been carried for centuries, aching to be free. You cannot silence this.
I think you'll find we can, says the Lord Mayor as he storms in. And again, you know, you don't have your active sense on, but it's hard to miss that lightning doesn't kill spirits, right? It killed mm-hmm. them, but their souls lived on. And we've established that the Lord Mayor is basically like a spirit medium who can't turn it off.
Right.
And so he's got everybody in there. A single person channeling that many spirits at once, like, even the people around him can see that, like, basically, like, blue fire is pouring out of his eyes, right? And he turns to one of his guards and pulls off of them a sword and starts marching towards the stage.
So basically, in this moment, blood running down Meyer's, like, chest. Because, you know, she's possessed by Sitar. There's a flare of the dramatic. Mm-hmm. Like, Meyer's cloak flings off, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think through, like, the combined... I think what happens here is Meyer pulls out, like, the Soul Eraser pistol, realizing this is the moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she's channeling everything she has in this one particular moment. And I feel like she's, like, shaking and unsteadily, like, trying to, like hold this together. Because she's still bleeding, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then I imagine, like, suddenly, like, ethereal hands, like, reach up and steady her aim. As she, like, flashback... She basically, I think I'm going to use a flashback here.
Okay, let's see what the flashback is to see how much stress this is.
I think what it is that she simply asked Dietrich to, like, she passed him some notes, right? And that under the carpeting and on the stage, there'd be, like, a ritual circle, right? And by tapping into it, it binds, like, it just keeps, like, one person from moving for a single moment, right?
It's like a three stress, girl.
I realize this.
Okay, just making sure.
But, like, the ethereal hands, like, erupt from both of these summoning circles and steadies my aim right at the head of the Lord Mayor. With the Soul Eraser pistol, I pull the trigger.
Okay, that's a +2 die, clearly, mm-hmm. for the bonuses from the ritual. You have steadied aim, and he's not able to move. That's a skirmish. Desperate, great.
It just feels appropriate that this is going to give me one more trauma.
Well, I mean, if you push yourself, yes.
That's what I'm doing.
Okay.
So is that like three die?
Yep. One, six, and two.
Woof.
Okay.
Vicious, I think, works here.
Oh, the souls are going to be pouring out of that boy.
I don't think Vicious works here. I think Haunted works here, but we'll talk about that.
Okay.
No, Jen, they're not going to be pouring out of that boy. They're not going anywhere. They're gone.
I just meant the same way that it fell out of Elias and did a little poof. I'm just imagining, like, 20 of them just, like, unfurling like a flower around his edges and each one of them going poof as they fall.
That works. And I think he falls last of all. Like, his body drops last after all of those spirits. People are screaming and fleeing the building. And Skurlock, I think Skurlock, like, makes a gesture and rips up the carpeting with magic, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then carefully walks, not on any magic circles, towards the stage. And as he's walking, he's like, you know, I should have waited for that shot. I didn't know you had a second move planned. I would have let you take that shot.
So, he's, like, walking towards me?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So, out of curiosity, when he meant, like, I would have let you take that shot, just real quick, because I'm having a hard time picking up, like, what was his intention?
He is looking to take advantage of a power vacuum you are creating, mm-hmm. and if he'd known you were going to make it bigger by taking out the Lord Mayor and the souls of all those people, he would have just let you do that. He thought you were done when you fried the... Fried Parliament.
The Senate, like the parliamentarian.
Yeah, right. he thought that was the last step, and he was like, okay, now that you're done, let me. And it's like, oh, okay, you had one more? My bad. That works for me.
I think what it is that, like, you know, Meyer is, like, you know, heavily breathing.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, out of curiosity, she got them all, right?
She got, yeah.
Wasn't the plan to, like, bar the doors once shit went real down?
I mean,
but who's gonna do it?
The
plan was for you to do it.
Oh,
and
right.
You're busy. Or for Lady do it, who we haven't seen in a bit.
I mean, my target was, like, the ghost of Parliament, you know,
and they're done.
I mean, I imagine far as Meyer is aware now at this point, it's like, all right. Basically, I think, like, Meyer kind of sees him, like, approach, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, she just kind of goes, out of curiosity, what were you planning to do?
I already told you this, he says, exasperated. Second God, remember?
Right. Second God.
It's a little more complicated. I was kind of counting on using some of those souls to do it. But, you know, listen, still plenty of opportunity. There's, I think the Spirit Fast has one last go in it, don't you? I think he just pulls out a bomb and he's like, I don't feel like getting close to you. So let's just, and then there's a bang on the roof, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he scoffs and he says, no doubt that's Scully and Chael. Scuffling up there. And there's another bang. And he's like, seems kind of pointed, however. And there's a third bang, and the ceiling explodes and Lady falls through, landing full force on top of him, and then just breaks his neck.
I, for good measure, as I see, like, reload, hold it to his head, and say something along the lines of, you know what? She doesn't say anything. She just pulls. And I just, like, pull out a hand, help Lady up, realizing that her weight would nearly rip my arm off. Cartoon. Yeah, like yeah. In her head going, oh wait, she's like way heavier than me.
Yeah, I think you extend a hand and like Lady just sort of through social cues is like confusedly like accepts and you pull and it's just like, and then, you know, your blood pressure gives out and you pass out because you've been shot also.
Right.
Scully.
Yeah.
Bluecoats are swarming this place.
Yeah, seems like it.
You are in a side alley, and I think you do get like the sound of like you've now recognized the footsteps of Chael, who is nearby, moving quickly, and it's just like, Scully. It seems like we're wrapping things up. Can we finish you and me now? Scully!
Hey, I'm gonna reload my soul racer pistol.
Man, y'all are mean. You don't even let people pass on to the afterlife. Y'all are fucked up.
Well, okay. What I'm going to do is... Fuck, I don't know.
You can just leave. She doesn't know where you are. She's stomping around, like, shouting Ollie Ollie Oxen Free.
That's true, yeah. Nothing. I guess I could just take... You know what? I'm going to take Satara's advice here. I'm going to sneak my way back to the hangout we've been at. I'm going to write Meyer a thanks for everything note. And I'm going to hightail it the fuck out of the city. Okay. That's what I'm going to do.
I think you... get to the docks, right? And things are in chaos. The Bluecoats can now finally leave White Crown, but now that they can, there's too much happening on White Crown for them to leave. We'll get to what happened with you in a minute, Meyer.
Okay.
And you get to the docks, and everyone's like, people are like, I think some of the Bluecoats here are like seizing boats to use so that they can, you know, like, try and address the situation. But there is a man sitting on a boat with a pipe, and he sees you and he's like, you looking for a boat?
Absolutely.
And he looks you up and down. He says, ma'am, you ever fished before?
Can't say that I have, no.
And he gets up and he steps off the boat and he picks up off the dock a fishing rod and a tackle box, and he just sets him on the boat and he says, never been a better time to start. And he walks away.
Excellent. Okay.
And Scully Booker sails off on a fishing boat.
Yes.
Meyer.
Mm-hmm.
Bluecoats are just pouring in.
Right.
It's the burly brawl from Matrix Reloaded, only they're all cops.
Yeah.
Well, I guess kind of agents. What happens with Meyer?
I think what happens is like... twofold, kind of. I think Meyer knows at this point, like, She really doesn't have, like, an out here, you know? I think what it is... Actually, you know what? Here's what happens. Look at Lady. I kind of tell her, like... as the blue coats are about to, like, start, like, you know, running in, like, you know, the doors are barged and things like that. I think what happens is I bring forth, like, Doug and Karis, and, like, I have Lady here, and I tap into, like, the last of, like, some sort of, like, reserve, right?
Mm-hmm.
Take some chalk out, cast away, like, you know, the scarf and everything. I just draw one last circle, right? And basically, I find a way to, like, free their souls, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And I basically tell the three of them, like, good dogs. And then I set them free.
Aww.
And here's the good news.
Mm-hmm.
All dogs go to heaven.
And at this point, I realize, like Maya real has, like, one last, like, kind of trick, right? Like, I think, like, the second part, like, I think, like, the deal that she made with, like, Satara was, like, twofold. One, allow me to possess, you know, the body. But then I need, like, to basically tell her, like, you know, these sort of things, they can tend to happen in cycles. I need to make sure that this the power to, like, deal with it can carry forward. But as of right now, these Soul Eraser pistols are, like, way too fucking powerful, right? Like, I... Mm-hmm. So, I think what it is... I think, like, just somehow, like, Meyer has a trick to, like to destroy the pistols, right? Like, some sort
I don't
of,
think,
like...
I don't think that's necessary.
Okay.
I think Meyer, like, both from, like, we could, you know, this could be stuff that happened in the interaction where you sort of addressed this with Satara, mm-hmm. but also just knowing what's right in the moment, you throw the pistol in the air and just Satara catches it and is gone.
And basically I tell Satara, like, I tell her thank you, and say, like, there may be eventually someone might need this. And so at one final moment, as the cops, like, all rush in, like, I think Meyer just has a smile on her face with one last, like, bit of lightning stored up in her copper spine. She activates the detonation device.
Sure. Yeah. Whatever that is. Yeah. You close your eyes for a moment and you open them as if from a deep sleep, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, ah, okay, this is what it's like to be a spirit, huh? And you're like, doesn't look quite like I expected, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of in a nice bed. And the door opens and Satara says, get up, sweetie. We got work to do. And then she pauses. She's like, you did read the contract, right?
I figured something like this was here.
So listen, it's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to make a great muse. Don't worry about it.
You know what? You did. I guess in that moment, I did have a flair for the dramatic. I might be okay, but hope you can teach me.
I can't say I've done it before. Most people weasel out of their deals, but we'll figure something out.
Well, all right. And basically it was just like, you know, she, like, Meyer gets up and just follows Satara.
All right. And I think our last shot for the season, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is we see a gloved hand pick up the note left in the church by Scully for Meyer.
Mm-hmm.
And it sets it back down. And Chell says, well, what the fuck do I do now? And that's the season.
Oh, fuck, that was right. So emotionally intense at the end. I started tearing up.
I like that fate for Meyer. It feels appropriate.
Yeah. I think we got to a good place.
Yeah.
This has been The Ghost of Parliament. We've been playing Blades in the Dark by John Harper. You can find it most places that tabletop games are sold, except for, you know, random comic book stores that only have copies of 4th edition D&D.
Weird, because that's out of date by this point.
I know. So you think that the comic book stores are keeping up to date? Wow. All right. Wow. All right, Kyrie.
Just party thoughts. That was a lot of fun. I think we had a lot of fun for a tabletop game inspired by like a goof, right? Mm-hmm. Like I believe you half heard something from Metal Gear Solid 2 and turned it into something. I think we got there, you know.
The ghosts in the walls of the White House have never been prouder of us. I am Six Detmar. I've been your game manager, and I will get the chance to be your game manager again. This is the end of our third campaign. We have a fourth campaign coming up where I am not, but we also will always need a backup, and so there'll be a fifth that I will be running.
Yeah, like should we just kind of say what the next game is gonna be?
Do you want one or one of them is not really ironed out very well? Let's just say yours. They'll say the one you're running.
All right, so we've been working this out. I have been working on this for quite some time. The next, like, mainline Scanline tabletop game will be run by me. We'll be using the Tenra Bancho Zero system as we play a campaign that I've entitled The Embers of War. I have been not only working on this from just, like, the structure of the game, the players, that sort of thing, but also like I have some big ideas for like how it's going to go down, and I'm really, really excited for y'all to listen to that. I'm really excited to like really work on it and give you like a hell of a show. And just last note, Six, you've been a very good GM on this campaign. I think I started getting like really comfortable with like the way like things were presented and like how we like worked together for some of this stuff, and I really appreciate that.
Yeah, I've been really grateful to have the two of you as players. It's been really fun. I am also selfishly looking forward to my first chance to be a player in 14 years.
Wow. Okay.
I'm sick of GMing.
Yeah. I'm not going to say much more because Kyrie covered what I was going to say, and also still recovering a bit from tearing up, but this was a blast, and I really like the way this went out. And I hope that people listening in also had a great time, too.
Yeah.
There's only one thing left to say. Jen?
Mm-hmm.
If I have to edit out the fact that you don't remember what you're supposed to say, then that's fine.
What am I supposed to say?
Oh my god, what's our side-off phrase?
Oh,
I've been not editing
any of this out. Maybe I'm just right. Leaving this all in.
I've been Kyrie.
I've been Jennifer. And we'll see you in another world.
You garbage human! It's spooky, scary skeletons! Oh my god!
Spooky, scary skeletons!